church's carol service. So I had to conduct the choir.
But you're a great conductor.
But I didn't know any of the music or any of the people, and apparently I was much more bossy than she was. Because I turned up and they said, oh, you haven't got a piano. And I said, well, I need a piano. And someone walked to their house and brought their own piano, like an electric keyboard.
Well done, Rosie.
I was like, well, I can't do this without a piano. Bethany wouldn't have done that. Well, Bethany's not here, so that's what happened.
I love that.
Yeah.
Across the UK, on DAB Digital Radio, online and on your smart speaker. This is Times Radio, the voice of the times.
Good morning, it's 6 o'clock. This is Stig Abel and Kate McCann with Times Radio Breakfast.
Bethany's not here could be a good catchphrase. Well, Bethany's not here!
That's probably Rosie's catchphrase at home.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably right. The headlines this morning: Keir Starmer tells President Xi that he wants to build a sophisticated relationship with China. Meanwhile, the Times has learned the PM has vetoed plans for a new attempt to reform the welfare system. So that's the front page of the Times today.
Were you just going to keep going?
I was just going to plough ahead.
No, you crack on.
I'm not going to stand in for you, Kate. You're here.
Ahead, we'll speak to Times Radio's political editor, Anna Mihailova, live from Beijing, and how the Italians are keeping tourists away from some of their historic treasures.
It's Thursday, the 29th of January.
This is Times Radio.
First, let's get the news with Cara Bentley.
Thanks, Kate. Good morning. Sir Keir Starmer's told the Chinese president that he wants a more sophisticated relationship that allows for meaningful dialogue on areas they disagree on. Speaking opposite each other in the Great Hall of the People in Beijing, the prime minister said cooperation would help secure jobs back home.
It's with the British people in mind that I am here today. I made a promise 18 months ago when we were elected into government that I would make Britain face outward again, because, as we all know, events abroad affect everything that happens back in our home countries.
President Xi said his visit had drawn a lot of attention and that they should rise above their differences and prove that they're able to stand the test of history. Sir Keir Starmer will not overhaul the welfare system for at least a year after vetoing plans to do so. It's being seen as a way for Downing Street to avoid another confrontation with Labour MPs after a number of backbench rebellions. Professor Michael Jacobs, a former adviser to Gordon Brown, says the Prime Minister is just waiting for a number of reviews to be completed.
Because the government tried introducing welfare reform without thinking it through properly, just basically making cuts for the budget, and that was overturned by the Labour Party, the Parliamentary Labour Party, he is now not going to try another set of reforms without doing proper reviews and then doing proper consultations, both within his own party, but more importantly with all the stakeholders in the National Health Service and employers and so on.
One of the sponsors of the assisted dying bill says it is unlikely to become law this year. It has to clear all its remaining stages before the current session ends, likely to be in May, or it will automatically fail. Supporter Lord Falconer of Thoroton has threatened to deploy the Parliament Act to override peers if the bill was not going to be passed before the deadline. It was narrowly passed by MPs in June last year. Donald Trump's told Iran time is running out to negotiate a deal on its nuclear program. Iran's responded by saying the country's armed forces are ready with their fingers on the trigger to respond to any aggression. It also insists its nuclear program is entirely peaceful. The president says America will act if it has to.
We have a big force going toward Iran. I'd rather not see anything happen, but we're watching them very closely. We have an armada. We have a massive fleet heading in that direction, and maybe we won't have to use it. We'll see.
Water bills are due to increase by an average 5.4% from April, adding around £33 a year to the typical bill. Bills for South East Water will be increasing by 7%, despite thousands of people experiencing water problems over the last couple of months. For a roundup of the news on demand, find the Times Radio news briefing on the Times Radio app.
Across the UK, on DAB Digital Radio, on the free Times Radio app, online and on your smart speaker. Times Radio Breakfast with Nationwide.
Good morning. This is Stig Abel and Kate McCann with Times Radio Breakfast. It's 4 minutes past six. In the last few hours, the Prime Minister has met with President Xi Jinping in China in a bid to improve relations with the country and reap the economic rewards. A deal has been struck to prevent small boat engines being sold to people smugglers as Keir Starmer attempts to curb the trade in Channel crossings. But questions remain about how effective any new agreement will be and whether the UK is prepared to be robust when it comes to human rights. There are other global concerns rumbling too. We have our eyes very firmly on Iran this morning as Donald Trump has moved a large US naval fleet to the region. Iran's foreign minister said the country's armed forces are, quote, ready with their fingers on the trigger to immediately respond. We'll hear from the editor-in-chief of the Wall Street Journal and from an American military chief to work out how close to the brink this potential conflict really is.
Back here, welfare's back on the agenda. The front page of the Times this morning confirms what many outside Westminster have suspected for some time, that the Prime Minister has neither the power nor the desire to push ahead with difficult welfare reforms in the next few years. The story charts the wrangling behind the scenes between the Department for Work and Pensions and Number 10, as ministers bid for space to introduce sweeping changes to cut the cost of support. But the plans have been met by a wall of resistance from backbench Labour MPs who don't believe the cuts can ever really be justified by a Labour government. The problem? Delays mean changes are unlikely before the next election, tying the hands of the Prime Minister, who's made equally important promises about defence spending and the NHS. As pressure mounts abroad, there's no let-up at home either this morning.
We'll hear from our political editor, Anna Mihailova, throughout the programme today. She's in China and can bring us the latest on how that trip is going. Plus, we'll talk student loans, why your water bill is about to go up again. And we'll hear about the man who went to work at a theatre expecting a normal day, but ended up taking the lead in an opera at the very last minute while still wearing his crumpled chinos and a jumper. He's been praised by some, but other theatregoers apparently threw things at the stage on the night. I know. We'll hear about his big night this morning.
We've heard that before, haven't we? The problem of poor behaviour in theatres.
Come on, if someone's taken ill halfway through and some bloke steps in at the last minute, you would think you'd cheer him on, wouldn't you?
For fans of pronunciation as well, the opera is called Turandot, but the original Iranian word is Turandot. But we think the Italians,
they don't say
that. So we think the Puccini pronunciation is Turandot, but the original word is Turandot. So if you have very strong opinions about that, we acknowledge
them.
Park them. Yeah. We're not saying we're right. I think there's no truly correct answer here. So we're going to go with Turandot. And if you don't like that, you can lump it. Or you can shout at us. You can WhatsApp us on 0333 003 2353. You can text us on 87222, starting with the word Times. Or email our producer, Emma, who spent about 10 minutes trying to explore the pronunciation of Turandot.
And I'm almost certainly still going to get it wrong.
Yeah, I think the thing I'm taking from this is there is no right answer, so therefore there is no wrong answer. Anyway, you can contact Emma if you like, studio@times.radio.
It is 7 minutes past six. The Prime Minister's trip to China has begun. He's been meeting President Xi and will visit the Forbidden City later on. Anna Mihailova, our political editor, joins us now from Beijing. Good morning.
Good morning.
How has that meeting gone so far? Are they still in talks or has that wrapped up now?
The meeting's finished. So they had a part of the meeting at the beginning where they were on camera and both said very nice things about each other, and both hinted that they wanted to increase ties and grow the relationship. In fact, Xi Jinping said that it was imperative to build closer ties between the two countries for world peace. And so they had the bilateral, then they've had lunch. That is finishing off. And Keir Starmer is getting a private tour of the Forbidden City, where I am now. You can see it behind me. And after that, he'll be briefing us journalists about how the meeting went.
And we will speak to you after that briefing, Anna. So we'll get more information about how that went when the cameras were turned off in just a couple of hours' time. What's the mood of the trip so far? I mean, it's translating over here as, you know, the Prime Minister, there are big questions for him about how robust he'll be, for example, on Jimmy Lai. We know there's going to be this announcement on people smuggling and small boat engines. But what's the mood over there?
The mood is pretty optimistic. I mean, the mood on the diplomatic side here is that it's been too long for Britain to engage with China. So they think it's something that needs to happen and hasn't been happening enough. There was a feeling that when James Cleverly came for the Conservatives, that would lead to more more engagement and more ministers coming. But that didn't happen under the last government. So I think there's a feeling that it's right for Keir Starmer to be here. I would just point out that, you know, we focus a lot and our questions to Keir Starmer so far has been a lot about whether he'll raise human rights, Jimmy Lai, Ukraine. But I think when you look at the meeting they've just had, the actual big moment with President Xi, you know, they were both sitting on a long table each opposite each other, surrounded with their delegation next to each other. And the person that Keir Starmer had next to him was Peter Kyle, the business secretary. Next to him was Varun Chandra, his business advisor. So there's a clear signal that business, economic ties, trade are a big focus here. You may have also seen in the picture, there was a huge amount of flowers in between the two tables. And I'm told that that's because Xi Jinping personally very much likes flowers and always has a lot of flowers everywhere. And we were asking number 10 whether they brought some flowers for him. But in fact, I believe I can reveal this now, that Keir Starmer brought him a football. Brought him the football that Arsenal played with in the game on the weekend. Remember on the day that he decided Andy Burnham's fate, it was that match.
Didn't they lose? They lost that match, I think.
Yes.
It was one of the first ones they've lost for quite a while.
I'm sure the Prime Minister will shortly explain the symbolism in much greater detail as we're about to see him. He gave us a bit of a preview last night at dinner when he popped into the journalist dinner. But yes, so I'm sure we'll hear much more on that. But, you know, I think in the bigger picture here is, I think for China, I mean, looking at the way the Chinese press is reporting this visit, they are saying it's great Keir Starmer's here. But they're also lumping him in with quite a few other leaders. They're saying lots of Western leaders are coming here. Ireland had a visit recently for the first time in 15 years. I mean, the reporting locally isn't building Keir Starmer himself up into a big moment. They're saying it's a trend that China is being recognized more by a host of countries. Mm. So I think that's just worth bearing in mind when we think about what each side is getting from this visit. I think for the UK, it's the potential benefits greatly outweigh the benefits for China on their side.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Anna. And it'll be really interesting to hear how the Prime Minister translates that meeting he's just had with Xi Jinping in the next couple of hours. Thank you so much for giving us the latest there. That's Anna Mikhailova, our political editor in Beijing.
It's not just journalists who've been sent on the diplomatic mission, with 54 British representatives on business, sport and the arts. They're also on the trip. That includes Daniel Evans, the co-artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company. And we can speak to him now. Daniel, morning to you.
Hello, good afternoon from a rather cold, forbidden city in Beijing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful... I've seen where you are. It's a beautiful location. We just explain to our listeners, I'm not sure they necessarily know this, why would the RSC be on a business trip to China?
Well, as well as business leaders, there is a cultural delegation here. The RSC is a local, national, international organisation with a global outlook, and we have brought Shakespeare to China in the past, and indeed this spring and summer we will be touring our production of Matilda the musical to five cities within China between February and August. And so we're all here in listening mode and exploring mode.
You mentioned that you have brought Shakespeare there, you are bringing Matilda. One of the issues around China will always be the question of artistic expression, freedom of expression. Are you able to function in a country like China untrammelled, without being constrained by requirements to censor your productions?
Well, I would say a few things on that. One always wants to respect the culture that one is visiting, because cross-cultural learning is hugely important and valuable for all parties. But secondly, I would say there is something about these stories, when you go to their core, whether in Shakespeare it's talking about leadership, the nature of leadership or succession, or whether in Matilda it's about a young girl who, through her imagination and literature, yeah, is able to find self-realization and self-empowerment, then there is something at the core of these stories that crosses borders, and that's what we're interested
in. But are you willing to cut bits here and there that might be seen as culturally inappropriate? How relaxed are you about that? And, you know, the core's the core, but there'll be lines, phrases. Are you willing to make compromises in that regard?
It would obviously be on a case-by-case basis, and we wouldn't want to do anything that was going to offend the culture that we were visiting. And on the other hand, we'd also want to be true to ourselves. So that would be a decision that would be case-by-case.
Has it happened in the past? I mean, to your knowledge, has it happened?
Not to my knowledge, no.
What do you want to get? Do you think you'll get something out of this? I mean, because we talk a lot about soft power, soft cultural power. Shakespeare is perhaps one of the great exports in the history of this country. But for us, soft power, it's very hard to sort of itemise soft power. What will you get out of it? What will we get out of this, do you think?
Well, I'm sure when I talk to my colleagues here now, and they come from across the cultural sector, whether it's museums, theatre, dance, galleries, etc., we're all talking about the potential opportunities for us to have this cultural exchange. You know, the arts, as we know, not only make our towns and cities up and down the country places worth living in, but they also help us deepen our understanding of ourselves, each other, and the world around us. And crucially, and this is not to be undersold, they can bring joy. Mm. And at this time in the world, perhaps, when things are becoming ever more polarized, the arts can play a part. That cross-culture, that cross-cultural learning that we can offer one another becomes very valuable indeed, alongside, of course, the big political meetings that are happening today.
Daniel, before you go, we'd like to try and lift the curtain a little bit on how these things work. The story we've been told, you can confirm or deny this, was that the poor cultural representatives had to travel in economy with the wretched journalists, while all the big business lot luxuriated in business class. Can you confirm or deny that?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Daniel, I think we can draw our own inferences from that, and we will surely do that. Good to speak to you.
Do so at your peril.
Good to speak to you. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
That's Daniel Evans there, the co-artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company. That is what we've been informed, and I would not entirely be... I'm surprised, and Kate, you've told us this before, that some wretched journalists from certain posher titles than ours get to go in the business class bit as well.
Some do. Some do.
Should we all be in it together?
Some others have reportedly, can't confirm or deny, slept on the floor of that plane as an alternative.
That is indeed you, isn't it?
It is indeed me. So, one of our listeners, this is why we love you all so much, Sarah, has got in touch to explain why giving Xi Jinping the match ball from that game that Arsenal lost at the weekend actually have been a good idea.
Because they lost to Man United.
Because they lost to Manchester United, which is Xi Jinping's favourite football team. They lost, they were beaten 3-2. So that might be why that the Prime Minister is giving that match ball as the present, the gift on the trip. Often, but we do go over with these gifts. Sometimes it's a box set of a series. Yeah. I think we've given Downton Abbey as a box set before. Sometimes it's a football shirt or something like that. So the Prime Minister has taken Xi Jinping a match ball from that game, apparently.
You know, you say, Kate, a lot of this is always done in advance.
Mm.
One of the reasons you can tell it's done in advance, because the meeting, we've just seen the pictures of the meeting that they made public. It would be impossible to have a serious conversation in that format. So you can imagine two giant benches that are maybe 10 feet apart with all the delegates. So Xi facing Starmer and all their advisors and fellow delegates, the Politburo on the Chinese side, on their side. It is they're very distant. They've all got little teapots in front of them. It'd be very hard to have a heart-to-heart to-and-fro in that situation.
Well, I think this particular meeting is actually being conducted through translators as well. So that makes it even more difficult. One of the things that's fascinating about these visits is how close the leaders can get to one another.
Yeah.
And that's what you always watch out for. That's partly the reason why journalists go on these visits, actually, because at the top of those meetings is something called a spray, which sounds very strange, but that's those comments that Anna was reporting there that the two leaders have exchanged. And then everybody is ushered out of the room and then the meeting takes place. And you'll get the formal reports from either side about what was discussed. But as you say, the diplomats have had those discussions before. Everybody knows what's on the agenda before that meeting happens. That's the real work that goes in before these really big trips. But the other bit is whether the leaders take the time to get to know one another separately. And in fact, on American visits, for example, it's often been the case that the press conference has been delayed, sometimes by an hour or even 2 hours, because the leaders get on so well.
They're just chatting
together. Yeah. And in fact, I think the last time time I went to Washington, D.C., the plane back was delayed because of that. But the flight back was delayed because of that. So sometimes leaders can find a moment together. Sometimes they absolutely don't. It'll be really interesting to see if Starmer and Xi find any moment together one-on-one during this visit. I suspect that they won't.
No, it looked very, very formal. The front page of the Times, by the way, says, make no deals with China until Jimmy Lai freed, Sun urges UK. And I think the point that we're trying to make here is that if Jimmy Lai were to be freed, we probably would, this would have been a done deal before this trip started. And therefore, the briefing that you'd have heard was very much Jimmy Lai is about to come out. Whereas we heard from William Hague on Tuesday of this week, he's been a foreign secretary, that they'll have a conversation that mentions Jimmy Lai, but in very stilted, formal fashion, knowing probably that they're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah, we'll hear again from Anna in around 2 hours' time when she can update us on what the UK side is saying went down in that meeting and whether there has been any mention of Jimmy Lai formally. So we'll bring you that in around 2 hours. It's 20 past six. Let's take a look at what's happening in the newspapers and online this morning. On the front page of the Times today, Jimmy Lai's son has urged the UK not to make any deals with China until his father is freed. Keir Starmer is currently in Beijing and has hailed the huge opportunities for business with China. Sebastian Lai told Times Radio yesterday that his father's release should be a key test for the normalisation of relations with Beijing.
This is a litmus test for this government. They talk about warming relationship with China, and you know, that will be helpful for trade. But also, you know, if we talk about a relationship with China, then it's also helpful to raise human rights issues. I think that's the line they use. Well, if they can't even get my father back home, then that tells you all you need to know about the relationship and all you need to know about how China thinks of us.
That's an excellent point. We're going to keep you up to date with everything going on from this trip throughout the morning. A Russian man has been found guilty of assault after Donald Trump's son called the police.